This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about something that we talk about every year, but it's always a special thing, and we always need to give it some good coverage because it really, really focuses in on really honoring some federal workers who are doing a great job out there all around the nation serving our public. We're going to be talking about the SAMMEs, the Service to America Medals, that's going to be happening next week on, I think, September 15th. And I have on the line with me Jim Seymour. He's from the Partnership for Public Service. He is the – Jim, give me your title again. I know you're in charge of a whole bunch of stuff, but give me the actual title.
Certainly, Derek. My name, again, Jim Seymour. I'm with the partnership. My title is Director of Programs and Special Events, and so oversee the Service to America Medals program that we're talking about, as well as some other things like Public Service Recognition Week.
Outstanding, outstanding. Let's talk about both of them. Let's hit the SAMMEs first. Next week, September 15th, you know, break it down for us. I mean, this is an annual event, but, you know, in terms of, you know, what's going to be celebrated, the different kind of awards going to be given, you know, who's sponsoring, what's going to be happening?
Certainly. Well, first I'll talk a little bit about what the SAMMEs are. As you said, it's an annual event, and this is our 10th annual Service to America Medals. And so we're excited over the course of this 10 years to have recognized more than 300 finalists from dozens of federal agencies. And really the purpose of the SAMMEs program is to pay tribute to America's dedicated federal workforce and really highlight those who had made significant contributions to our country. What we want to do is help elevate the prestige and respect that federal employees and public servants from all walks of life receive. You know, they deserve a lot of recognition for their hard work. In a long, we're changing the national dialogue where it's okay to talk about, you know, the size and role of government, but, you know, it's not okay to vilify or demonize the people who serve in government. So really the Service to America Medals is an opportunity for us to uphold those who are truly performing, they're demonstrating innovation, they have outstanding leadership in their roles in government, and we can use them as poster children to reflect the accomplishments and successes in government.
You know, you just mentioned something really, really important. I mean, because we've got this whole dynamic right now where a lot of people are talking about government. The government's too big, and you know, there's talk about a reduction in force. There's all this kind of talk about this negative dynamic of government. I mean, you know, given that the SAMMEs are coming out, I mean, how important do you think the SAMMEs are in this time where people are kind of demonizing government?
You know, we think it's certainly more important than ever as we're coming into a lot of political debate and coming into the 2012 election cycle. That dialogue is heating up. And, you know, you can see that our country has gone through a change where the men and women in uniform now get the respect, you know, come back from Vietnam War. You know, they were targeted with criticism. And, you know, again, we want to change that dialogue where our nation's civil servants you know, they certainly deserve no less respect. We want to make sure that there are positive conversations out there. And if you think about it, you know, it's easy when you're talking about a large faceless government, it's easy for politicians and the public to bash what government is doing or what they're not doing, where there are failures. But when you individualize that conversation, you talk about specific federal employees that you know and the work that they're doing, the response is dramatically more positive. And that's exactly what we want to do with the SAMMEs is put that compelling face on government service so that people will, one, have a better understanding of what government does on our behalf, but then have a greater appreciation for the people. They're doing all kinds of things to help us out. You know, just think about this summer of all the different activities that have been going on. If you think to, you know, the earthquake that occurred in Virginia just a few weeks ago, you know, the seismologists from U.S. Geological Survey were right on spot to let us know what was going on. The investigators from Nuclear Regulatory Commission were on site to make sure that the nuclear plant not far from the epicenter was still safe and operating well. We're going through a lot of rainstorms right now as a couple hurricanes and tropical storms pass through. And
that's right.
The meteorologists at NOAA and National Weather Service are right there to make sure we have the information and warnings we need to keep everyone safe. And, you know, as government is looking to cut back and downsize the workforce, the demands of government are just going up. If you look at the demands on SSA for beneficiaries of Social Security benefits, and you look at the Veterans Affairs of a larger size of beneficiaries and their families, those demands are only increasing, and we're expecting more of our federal employees. I expect them to deliver more with less resources.
You know, I mean, you mentioned something, and I was looking at the awards, and I see something new on the awards this time, the Samuel J. Heyman Service to America Medal Award. I didn't see that in previous years. Can you, I don't know if that's just a new name change that I didn't recognize before, but with that additional in the name on that, what is that recognized? Who is Samuel J. Heyman?
That is a namesake that we added to the awards program at last year's gala, the 2010 Service to America Medals. And that was to pay tribute to the founder of the Partnership for Public Service. Sam Heyman, graduated from Harvard Law and went to work in federal government public service during the Kennedy administration. And he spent that years serving his country in that way. He subsequently went home to take over the family business and did very well for himself. But he always had a very strong passion for the role of government in our lives, and that to have good government, you need to have good people. That's really where it all begins. And so he's started a number of programs to make sure that government is attracting the right pipeline of talent into the critical roles that will serve our greatest challenges and needs. Unfortunately, we lost Mr. Heyman a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when he passed away. But his family remains very supportive of the organization and wanting to contribute to this cause of lifting up public service. And so we found it an inspiring opportunity to rename the Service to America Medals in his honor.
Sounds appropriate. It seems as if, this is a great story about, a person who served their country for a period of time, didn't stay in government service, but always remembered what, the importance of government service. And it seems as if we need to have a little bit more of that with the public going on these days.
Exactly. And, we find that with our Service to America Medals finalists and winners that, some of them are lifetime public service. We have our whole career achievement category for people who have served in government for at least 20 years. But we also have folks that might only serve for a few years at a time. They might go back to the private sector. They might come into to the public sector from the private sector. And, what's a common thread among all of our honorees, whether they're finalists or award recipients, is that they truly have a passion to want to make a difference. They truly want to contribute to making our country a better place and to better serve the needs of our citizens. And so whatever they do in their careers, they find an opportunity to do that through public service. And, without exception, they always say that this is one of the best opportunities to do that, to make a difference in the lives of others because of the resources that government has, because of the ability that they can bring together different agencies and partners in the private sector even, that they can really capitalize on the strengths of the American government to accomplish big things.
With that, and before we go into the actual medals, which I want to go into in a few minutes or on the next segment, what are we going to experience? And I'm going to be there on the 15th. What are we going to experience, as this unveiling of the award winners comes out? And what kind of program are we looking at? Is this going to be like the Grammys? Is this going to be something, a big production as we see on TV?
We do like to call the Service to America Medals, we nicknamed them the Sammys, but we also refer to them as the Oscars of the federal workforce. And it is an opportunity for us to roll out the red carpet. I mentioned without exception that these Sammys winners are really trying to make a difference, and they have a great passion, also very humble about their work, which means, they aren't seeking out this kind of recognition. So it really is an opportunity for us to shine an elegant spotlight on their career choices and on their accomplishment. So at the gala on September 15th, it is a black tie event. We bring in all kinds of VIPs and dignitaries. This year, we are anticipating a handful of cabinet secretaries to participate in the award presentations, a couple members of Congress, other agency leaders. And all these folks are on stage, whereas they're usually the ones getting the limelight. they're coming together to help shine the spotlight on the honorees and let them have an opportunity to be recognized for their important work and accomplishments.
Who's going to be your host this year?
We are excited that Bob Schieffer, who's the chief Washington correspondent for CBS News and anchor of Face the Nation, is going to emcee the evening.
Wow. That sounds like a great program. We'll take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the actual awards and the actual award winners, maybe some of these people kind of shining a light on, some of the people who are going to be winning these awards. And then also talk about how can people find more information about the SAMMY's program, future nominations. This is a yearly thing, so we want to find out more about that. We're talking to Jim Seymour. He's in charge of the SAMMY's. He's the director of programs and events at the Partnership for Public Service. He's in charge of the SAMMY's. We'll be right back after this break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hello, my federal friends. It's the Geico Gecko, and I've got good news for you. I might even say it's some of the best news ever. Okay, well, definitely in the top three. The big news. Geico offers discounts for most federal employees GS7 or above, which is no doubt a lot of you out there. So you could be saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, all with a company that began over 70 years ago with the sole purpose of serving government employees like yourself. Yeah, that's right. Geico, the Government Employees Insurance Company. And today, well, we're the third largest car insurance company in the nation. And did you know about Geico's 97% customer satisfaction rate? Well, saving money tends to make people rather happy, I think. So congrats again to those federal employees GS7 or above. Welcome to the Savings Club. Mike?
Got it. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. The Gecko's right. Discounts are available for most federal employees GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
How is DOD improving financial information and audit readiness? What is DOD doing to improve its operations, become more efficient, and control costs? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and much more with his very special guest, Bob Hale, Undersecretary of Defense and Comptroller within the U.S. Department of Defense, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
What Facebook has done, they're transforming advertising. With Google click-through, you don't really know who's clicking through. But with Facebook, you can so specify who's looking at your ads that it's extremely targeted. That's why Google is so worried, because Facebook has created this closed ecosystem. They don't allow Google search into their little private kingdom. And Google is afraid that the Facebook community will become larger than Google's.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You don't have a choice of getting breast cancer. You don't have a choice of anyone getting it.
To say it was a shock is just a complete understatement. I mean, I don't think there are words.
I felt so helpless as she suffered. The 3-day was something I could do.
60 miles in 3 days, I can do that.
If I'm sure if it was 100 miles, we'd still walk it.
I think it's a very bold thing to do. It was a big statement for me of I'm alive.
We can do this.
We can do this.
We can rid the world of this terrible disease.
So that no mother,
granddaughter,
sister,
friend,
go through what my wife had to go through.
This is more than just 3 days. This is a lifetime.
Register today for the Susan G. Komen 3-Day for the Cure. Visit www.the3day.org or call 877-THE-3-DAY. That's 877-THE-3-DAY, because everyone deserves a lifetime.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government. Identify the federal agency problem.
Am I number enough? All the other information is way prettier. I look fat in this network, don't I?
The answer? Insecure data. With CenturyLink's comprehensive suite of security solutions, even your most sensitive data stays protected. For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
Government IT executives, step into the past to start shaping the future at this year's Executive Leadership Conference in Colonial Williamsburg. The American Council for Technology and the Industry Advisory Council's ELC Conference, October 23rd through the 25th, brings together government and industry leaders to address the acquisition, security, and human capital challenges you face in your increasingly mobile world. Register today at actgov.org. That's www.actgov.org.
Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we have been talking about the Service to America Medals. That's going to be coming up on September 15th. It's going to be a gala, almost a, we call it the Oscars or the Grammys of public service, or so to say. We have on the phone with us Jim Seymour. He is Director of Programs and Events at the Partnership for Public Service, and under his responsibilities comes the SAMMES, or the Service to America Medals. Jim, you know, we kind of talked about this is going to be a great thing, going to have some VIPs there. It's going to be a great kind of a whole experience. But let's get down to the actual awards. What are, I think it's about, is it 8 awards, Jim?
We have 9 awards this year. There are 8 different categories, plus our Federal Employee of the Year Award. And so I'll give you a little description of those. I mentioned a little bit ago about our Career Achievement Medal, which honors federal employees with 20 or more years of government service. On the other end of the spectrum, we have folks that are finalists for our Call to Service Medal, and that's for young people that are age 35 or under and have fewer than 5 years of government service. But we want to show the important contributions that even young people coming into government service, they can make a real difference early in their careers.
And when we talk about young people, Jim, what are we talking about? We're talking about people who are under what?
They're under 35. You know, most of our finalists will tend to be in their upper 20s or young 30s. And what's really a common theme there is, again, that, you know, they have incredible resources, incredible opportunities to work on big things in government, things that you wouldn't be able to work on in a private sector job or in a nonprofit organization. And they also, you know, the finalists for that Call to Service Medal, those who have really stepped up and made grand achievements already, you know, they speak to the mentoring and leadership they get from their supervisors, that they, you know, they're empowered to go out and make big things happen.
You know, with all of that, so we've got these 9 awards. Break some of them down, and then even in some of the awards, not necessarily giving away every single person, but who are some of the people who, you know, have stood? I mean, all of them stand out, and all of them are memorable, but who are some of the people who, you know, just coming to mind that are some powerful stories?
Absolutely. And actually, I want to mention to your listeners to please visit our SAMMES website, which is servicetoamericamedals.org. We have complete profile articles and photos about each of this year's finalists. And so I encourage your listeners to check those out and read the longer stories. But I'll be happy to give you a quick snapshot of some of their work and inspiring accomplishments. We have a new award category this year. It's called Management Excellence.
Okay.
And while in some ways we think all of the SAMMES are about management excellence, we really wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to showcase significant accomplishments that are not necessarily direct services to citizens, and they're typically out of the public eye, but they really exemplify where there's good cross-agency collaboration, there are excellent public-private partnerships, efficient contracting, financial management, things like that. And so I'll, you know, mention one of our finalists this year is Michael Smith from the Department of Homeland Security.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of news about the agency now entering its, the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks and the stand-up of the Homeland Security Agency. And so what Michael is able to do is, you know, recognize the importance of efficient acquisition services. He was able to bring together the buying power of those 22 agencies that are in offices that are within the Department of Homeland Security, and over 3 years saved more than $750 million, really just by bringing those purchasing power, making sure that those agencies are working together to share their resources.
You know, and I think this is a great award, but did you find that throughout the years that, you know, there was a dynamic where, like, maybe people who were SES or people who were like your supervisory 15s, they weren't being recognized for this kind of work? Is that, you know, is that where this award came from?
Well, something in particular for this award, all of the Service to America medals, I should mention, are for career civilian federal employees.
Okay.
And so they're not for any of the political leadership within the agencies. This award program does not include recognition for contractors or military, active duty military personnel. But really just focusing on those career civilian employees, because it really felt like there wasn't a, you know, broad national recognition for federal employees. There are some different awards programs that federal agencies do, and the White House does, but just nothing that really raises it to that level where folks can take recognition nationally. And so that's where we wanted to bring that limelight in. But I think in particular with the management excellence category, you know, there some of the stories where if scientists are working on curing cancer or they're working on a huge legal case, it might be bringing the plaintiff of a Ponzi scheme to justice. You know, those stories might get the press really easily. And we want to make sure we had an opportunity to showcase the really good management stories as well, that, you know, they're not always the sexiest stories, but you can't get it done, and especially in this era where everyone's looking to downsize government and cut budgets, you know, that's really important.
Outstanding. You know, so we've got the Management Excellence Award. I'm looking at the other ones. We've got the Call to Service Medal. We've got the Career Achievement, Citizen Service Medals. Break those down for us.
Yes, a couple of the other ones. So Citizen Service is one of our finalists this year, and there's a broad category where we're looking to how our government employees helping a broad, large group of our American citizens. There's a team led by Kim Nazee from the Veterans Health Administration. She worked with colleagues in the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. She worked with colleagues in the Department of Defense so that together they could create a simple process for veterans and beneficiaries and for participants in the Medicare and DoD health systems to be able to download and access their personal health information and really empowering them to manage and take better care of their own health in that system. And so, again, that was a great opportunity where we saw agencies working together to lift up a program and deliver better service to the American people. We mentioned the Homeland Security for Management Excellence, but we also have a gentleman, Bill Arrington, from the Transportation Security Administration. He's a finalist this year in our Homeland Security Medal and leads the Highway and Motor Carrier Security Division within TSA. We talk a lot about we can't rely on government in all places at all times to protect us from any kind of attack. We need, you know, boots on the ground, everyday ordinary citizens being our eyes and ears to watch out for any suspicious activity. And so Bill Arrington runs a nationwide program that helps train our truck drivers and bus drivers, other transportation professionals to observe and assess and report the suspicious activities. So hopefully we can prevent any attacks from happening again.
And, you know, I mean, you're bringing up something really, really important that I think that maybe as people visit your website and kind of read about these people, read about their stories, I mean, a couple of things really come to my mind. I mean, one, you know, the wide spectrum of different careers within federal government. People hear about the Transportation Security Administration, but they think of it in terms of the airport and the screeners. But you're mentioning, that this guy at TSA, he's working on the highways. He's working with the truckers. He's working in order to ensure that, our truck drivers and other things like that, people who are delivering maybe packages that may have some chemicals in them or whatever, are also protected and they cannot be compromised by terrorists.
That's right. Yeah, with the Sammy stories, there are so many examples where, you know, if somebody's doing something that you might think, I didn't know a federal employee was working in that. I thought it was, you know, local law enforcement or something else, or it was just up to the private sector to do that. And so there are so many examples of what the federal employees are doing. You know, one of the unique stories this year is in our science environment category. There's a woman named Fenella France, and this is actually a story that was featured in the news where she was the lead scientist there who discovered in the Declaration of Independence there was a spot where Thomas Jefferson in his original draft had very deliberately and carefully scribbled out. He had written about the subjects of these United States, and very carefully he rubbed that out and wrote citizens of these United States. And so, you know, bringing new technology to be able to study these documents. She also, if you've been over to the American History Museum where the Star Spangled Banner is on display, you know, she was one of the scientists from the Library of Congress that helped in preserving and restoring that exhibit so that, you know, this historical information, it can be protected and on display for future generations of our country, but also helping to understand some of the nuances of what our founding fathers were thinking and what their actions meant at the time.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Jim Seymour one more time for this last segment. We'll talk a little bit more about the rest of the medals, but then we'll also talk about the future because the Sammies is going to be coming again in 2012. How do you nominate? If you're listening right now, you know somebody who's a federal worker who maybe who deserves some recognition. How do you nominate this person and possibly get them amongst these finalists and get them an award? And then also, what does the award signify? What do they receive when they get this award? We're talking to Jim Seymour. He is Director of Programs and Events at the Partnership for Public Service. He's in charge of the Sammies. We'll be right back after this break on Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Meeting Mission Goals Through Technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Office of Personnel Management is promising a completely revamped version of the government's centralized hiring website by next month. A 3.0 version of the USAjobs.gov site will launch on October 13th, taking the system from a closed proprietary architecture to one that can integrate with the HR systems of various federal agencies. OPM says that'll improve agencies' recruiting programs and let them do a better job of communicating with job applicants.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
A major hurricane raises the obvious question: can our homes be better built to withstand violent weather? The answer is, of course, yes. But at what cost? Tim Reinhold, chief engineer at the Institute for Business and Home Safety, says with about a 2% increase in the cost of a new home,
you can certainly raise the level of strength of a typical house quite a bit because our connections are generally so poor between the roof and the walls and the foundation.
Reinhold says the key is strapping the roof trusses to the top of solid walls. His experiments with wind speeds of 110 miles per hour showed
the front door on the conventional house blew open. When that pressure got inside, the whole house came apart in 4 seconds. Whereas the other house that was strapped together, well, stood there and didn't have any problems.
To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
No one said this in a while, so here it is. A reminder. This is America. America. In America, we do great things. We dream dreams and then conceive and create and educate and just plain work until they come true. Our greatness is not past. Are you kidding? It is here and now, just as it's always been and will always be. This is a message from Force 3. We design and implement security solutions that protect the nation's sensitive data. We create borderless networks and limitless communications. We're one of the thousands of American companies that are dreaming and growing and winning. If you're interested in today's most advanced technology solutions, or if you just want to meet people who are doing great things, visit force3.com. Force 3. Let's do something great. Force 3 is a leading provider of EMC solutions to the federal government. Find out how Force 3 and EMC can deliver the right solution for your agency by visiting force3.com.
For more than 80 years, Motorola has been committed to keeping Americans safe. Today, Motorola Solutions provides interoperable communication systems that are built to open standards so federal, state, and local agencies can work together in emergency situations and be their best in the moments that matter. That's why first responders and others dedicated to keeping citizens safe choose Motorola Solutions, because they know Motorola Solutions always puts public safety first, just like they do. To learn more, visit MotorolaSolutions.com/80.
A major hurricane raises the obvious question: can our homes be better built to withstand violent weather? The answer is, of course, yes. But at what cost? Tim Reinhold, chief engineer at the Institute for Business and Home Safety, says with about a 2% increase in the cost of a new home,
you can certainly raise the level of strength of a typical house quite a bit because our connections are generally so poor between the roof and the walls and the foundation.
Reinhold says the key is strapping the roof trusses to the top of solid walls. His experiments with wind speeds of 110 miles per hour showed
the front door on the conventional house blew open. When that pressure got inside, the whole house came apart in 4 seconds. Whereas the other house that was strapped together, well, stood there and didn't have any problems.
To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio. Welcome back to Fed Access. We've been talking to Jim Seymour. He is the Director of Programs and Events at the Partnership for Public Service. And we've been talking about this great program that's going to happen next week, the SAMMES, the Service to America Medals, honoring nine public servants who are doing some amazing work across the country. Jim, one thing that I was looking at that really kind of, you know, struck me was that a lot of people, of course, think about people in the D.C. metro area being federal workers, but I'm seeing the medal contenders being from all over the country.
That's right. I think the statistic is that only about 35% of the federal workforce works in the Washington, D.C. area. So that's a super majority that are in the states throughout our country as well as around the world. You know, we do have a national security and international affairs category as well, that helps tie in those folks that are working in diplomacy, whether it's in the State Department or USAID, but even some of the other agencies. You know, sometimes folks at EPA are involved with cases of trying to stop pollution or stop the spread of illegal chemicals across our borders or outside of our borders. And so there really are amazing things that folks are doing all throughout our country and all throughout the world.
You know, I see, you know, West Virginia, I see Florida, I see Georgia, I see Vermont, just places that you wouldn't even think of as being, you know, where federal workers are making a difference at.
Yes, and you know what's nice is some of those folks, you know, they have that career passion, they're working in public service, but in this day and age, as we're looking to downsize, we can also take advantage of opportunities to telework. It's been a big shift over the past years to really encourage public servants and federal employees to have teleworking opportunities. So, you know, they can be connected and interacting and advancing the business of government, but don't have to be in a central headquarters all working together. You know, that can have many benefits of, you know, making our employees more effective if they can, you know, spend that time getting work done instead of having to commute to an office. It can reduce our energy consumption so we're not all sitting on the highways trying to squeeze into a few centrally located positions. But truly, they are all over the country and from, you know, every different federal agency. And those are the folks that we're looking to recognize as we think of future nominations. If you think about all the different things that federal employees are doing on behalf, you know, we want to hear about them. They can be any career civilian federal employee. They can be in any federal agency at any level of government. You know, we want to make sure we hear about those people that are brand new to government and making significant contributions. And we want to hear about those folks that have been in government throughout their careers. And have had steady achievements in support of the American people.
You know, I think we missed one medal, the National Security and International Affairs Medal. I want to make sure we captured that one. What's going on with that award?
Well, so I'll mention one of this year's finalists, and this is something we heard about in the news last year, was the negotiation ratification of a New START nuclear arms control treaty. And, you know, this was a big deal, but seems to have slipped under the radar now that we have other political debates and discussions going on in D.C., but this was something that Paul Dean, an attorney advisor within the Office of the Legal Advisor of the Department of State, worked on. And here was someone who, you know, literally he was coming to D.C. and starting his work with a private practice right around the time of 9/11 and the events of the attacks on 9/11. He's one of those that was inspired to go into government, to leave what might have been a more lucrative career with a private law firm and come into government service where he felt that he could make a bigger difference to, you know, help protect our country. And he really served as that legal architect for the design of the nuclear arms control treaty, the New START, and, you know, over in Russia, negotiating with his counterparts in the Russian government, working on Capitol Hill to make sure that those provisions would pass our Senate and get ratified before going to the White House. And it really was a commitment on his part to make sure that it was, you know, moved along at a fast pace so they could advance relations with Russia as we see those sort of ebb and flow.
Let me talk about, I know, you know, you got some supporting sponsors on this. And I mean, two things I want to kind of just really touch on before we get out of here for you. You know, who are your supporting sponsors? And then two, for people who are thinking about nominating somebody else, you know, for the future, for 2012 SAMMES, what should they be thinking about? What should they be doing?
Okay. Well, first, I do appreciate the opportunity to thank our sponsors. This certainly would not be possible without them and their financial support of the program. And truly, our sponsors view this as a partnership. feel that federal employees are their partners in the work that they do, and they want an opportunity to lift up the federal employees that they work with. I'll just mention real quick our six national sponsors of the SAMES program this year, and they'll be with us at the gala next week. We have Bloomberg Government, we have CH2M Hill, Booz Allen Hamilton, Chevron, DuPont, and United Technologies Corporation. And those are just our top six. We have about two dozen sponsors in the SAMES program and really appreciate their support. But then, as you said, we are already jumping into the 2012 SAMES program. We're already accepting nominations for next year's award. And, you know, the biggest things is folks can visit the SAMES website. I'll give that again. It's servicetoamericametals.org. And on the website, they'll find an online nomination form. It's a simple form to fill out to provide information about the nominee, about the nominator, and then really just a couple paragraphs about what this person has done. And as I mentioned at the outset, part of the mission of the Service to America Medals is to help connect government employees with the American people. And so in those paragraphs, in writing up a nomination, we want folks to consider, you know, what is it about this person that their service is directly benefiting the American people? What is it will help inspire people to have that better understanding and appreciation for what they do? One of the other great things about the program, folks can start a nomination at any time. So even if someone went on today, they could simply, you know, start a nomination and put in Mickey Mouse as a nominee, but then they're in the system, they're listing themselves as a nominator, and I'll be able to, you know, send information out throughout the course of the fall as we're collecting nominations to make sure that they're receiving updates about the program and getting closer to the nomination deadline. And so for this year, we will be accepting nominations through the first week of January so we can get those great stories and start vetting and determining the finalists for next year, which we recognize during Public Service Recognition Week in the first week of May.
And does a person really need to provide like a really good story? I mean, in order for a person to really get recognized through this process, I mean, just as a tip for people who maybe think about nominating somebody, do you need to provide a nice backdrop of a person? You know, how do you do that?
Well, certainly that gets the nomination noticed. You know, we want people to think about writing the nomination as if they're writing a profile article for a newspaper, or as they're reading the profiles that are on the SAMES website that we have, all of this year's finalists, they can use those examples of how to write a winning nomination. We want, you know, write something that's going to get our attention, that in just a few couple sentences at the top is going to, you know, grab people's attention. And where possible, include, you know, compelling human interest stories where there's either a unique beneficiary of their work or a unique story about how this person was inspired into government, you know, as I mentioned with Paul Dean and, you know, being inspired by 9/11. To go into government service, you know, it's a great part of the story that we can use to tell others.
Outstanding. Jim, thank you so much for coming on Fed Access. We really appreciate your time. Jim Seymour, he's from the Partnership for Public Service. He's director of programs and events. He's running the SAMES that's going on next week. I will be there. We will definitely have to recap after this is over.
Sounds great.
We'll be right back after this break. We'll be doing part one of a two-part segment. We'll be having Linda Ricks on. She's the co-CEO of Aview Technologies. They run AviewCentral.com. We'll be talking about the federal hiring process, so make sure you stay tuned. This is part one of a two-part segment on federal hiring. It'll be very, very important you listen in. We'll be right back after this break on Federal News Radio on Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth every Saturday here on Federal News Radio. This week, join me and my special guest, Tim McConville, who is my partner at Odin Feldman & Pittleman, and Tim will be talking about the National Labor Relations Act and our employment and labor practice at the firm. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Government personnel must continue to achieve mission-critical objectives no matter their work environment. Video conferencing technologies provide a highly effective collaboration solution for federal employees affected by budget cuts, BRAC initiatives, and telework mandates if they are secure based on open standards and deployable in limited bandwidth environments. Polycom is the first video provider to have an ultimate HD portfolio that is JITC certified, offering real-time face-to-face communication without compromising secure networks or consuming excessive bandwidth. Polycom enables government customers to collaborate over voice and video anywhere, anytime, securely both inside and outside the firewall, offering high-definition video calls at half the bandwidth of other companies. To learn more, visit polycom.com/federal.
The Telework Center arms you with all the information you need to know about teleworking in the federal government. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Polycom.
It's the Geico Gecko with a little hello to all you federal employees. Now, in government, there are people on all points of the political spectrum. But there is one thing that everyone agrees on. Saving money is good. Which brings me to the big news. Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or an aristocrat, left wing, right wing or a chicken wing. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, you could be saving a lot of money on your car insurance by switching to Geico. So no matter if you're blue or red or in my case green. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, contact Geico and see how much you could save. Isn't that right, Mike?
Exactly right, my little green friend. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. And like the Gecko said, discounts are available for most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
The nation's largest intelligence event of the year returns to San Antonio, Texas, October 16th through the 19th. Network with professionals from the defense, intelligence, and homeland security communities at the GEOINT 2011 Symposium. USGIF's GEOINT Symposium features keynote speakers from agencies, combatant commands, and Congress, as well as panel sessions and breakout tracks tackling the critical issues affecting national security. Register now or learn more at GEOINT2011.com. That's GEOINT2011.com.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government. Identify the federal agency problem.
Am I number E enough? All the other information is way prettier. I look fat in this network, don't I?
The answer? Insecure data. With CenturyLink's comprehensive suite of security solutions, even your most sensitive data stays protected. For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Welcome back to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch. Thank you for listening. We've been talking about the SAMIs for the first segment, but now we're going to start talking about some federal hiring. I have with me one of my regular guests on the phone with me, Linda Ricks. She's co-CEO of AVIEW Technologies. They run the federal job site, avieucentral.com. If you haven't been on there, you definitely need to go there. It has different federal postings. A lot of agencies contract with AVIEW Technologies and put their jobs on AVIEW Central, and they use it to basically hire the people who they're hiring. They use their technology to hire those people. But Linda's going to be talking about some new technology today in terms of federal hiring that may revolutionize the game. Linda, I know you're talking about some social networking tools and kind of putting some things on Facebook and LinkedIn. What's going to be happening?
Yeah. Hi, Derek. It's good to be with you again. We are very excited about a new process that we have in place for our customers to be able to post their job postings directly onto their agency's Facebook page and also onto LinkedIn.
Wow.
And we see this as a whole new method of outreach, a lot easier for people, I think, to use because they're familiar with those technologies. And we think that it's going to draw and attract a really diverse pool of applicants in for the federal sector, which is part of this administration's entire objective is to try to make sure that people can get to positions and that the government, as it fills these positions, is conscientious about their diversity goals and objectives. So
now let me get this straight.
It's
going
to be great.
Let me
yeah.
just kind of make sure I'm clear. So like for an agency, if an agency has a lot of agencies I've seen this because, I mean, I've seen like IRS recruiters on Facebook. I've seen a lot of different people on Facebook and LinkedIn. So if an agency has a Facebook page, so if IRS or Forest Service, whoever had a Facebook page or a LinkedIn page, then they would automatically begin posting their jobs on that Facebook page automatically. Is that what we're saying? Would it link back to your site, or would it link back to kind of a USA Jobs thing, or would it just be the full posting on that Facebook? I mean, how would it work?
It basically works. The agency elects to post to their Facebook page and or their LinkedIn page. And then once the posting is up there, there's a click-through, and it links right back into that particular job posting on our site.
Wow.
So they go directly to the job posting from that particular link. And once they're in, for LinkedIn users, we will also then pre-populate their application with their LinkedIn application process.
Okay.
They may have to go through, most agencies require additional information that they'll have to establish as supplemental information. But of course, once they do that for any job through this process, they'll be able to use it over and over for any other job.
So, and also, I mean, I know some people, especially on LinkedIn, which is, you know, very much so that professional site, but it sounds as almost as if, you know, with Facebook, you know, we're going to start seeing the dynamic of Facebook change from just kind of a social networking of friends, but now a true networking tool for your job search. That's what it sounds like the transition is starting to take place in. If a person has a kind of, I know like some people have their resumes on LinkedIn and other things like that, will that information be able to go to the agency, or will it just still be the profile that they have in your site or wherever it's going back to?
It's going to be both.
Okay.
So we will pull down their LinkedIn profile, and it will include essentially everything that LinkedIn sends over on there. They've got a process called One Click to Apply. So it will pull all that information over, which will include their resume and their LinkedIn profile. And then they will also, it'll be married up to either their AVIEW profile, or it will be brought in, and then they can also complete whatever remaining information they need for an AVIEW profile or for that agency's application process.
Wow. Will this make the process simpler, do you think? I mean, are we kind of saying that, you know, this will be a process of really streamlining, you know, and especially as we've talked about kind of the elimination of KSAs and everything else, where your profile, you know, you apply, a lot of your profile information gets sent to that agency right away, and then, you know, you're able to go in through a couple other channels. Well, do you feel like this will make it simpler?
Oh, yes. I think it makes it not only simpler, but because so many applicants for employment use LinkedIn, and it's such a common denominator site that is out there for making connections for jobs and using a process of social networking to find out about jobs, I think that what will happen is it eliminates a lot of the frustration people have had in the past that the hiring process improvement has tried to address and overcome, like being able to submit your resume to apply. Leveraging existing pools of talent that are out there that don't understand this centralized application process on USA Jobs and get frustrated by that process, I think this is a game changer completely.
Wow. Wow.
Because what it does is it says, if you would normally apply for a private company position and you would start with your LinkedIn profile, you're going to be able to do that for a federal position as well. So it's a huge win for the job seeker that's out there. It's a huge win for the agency, because now you're accessing a talent pool that you don't normally get access to very easily.
And this is a talent pool that's even probably more technical savvy than your average talent pool, would you say?
Yes. And in fact, we got the request from our federal agency customers largely from the CIOs. So it was the CIOs who said, how come I can't just post my job on my agency's Facebook page or on LinkedIn?
Wow.
And we thought, well, there's a good question. How come?
Let's figure a solution for this.
Yeah. So we thought, well, how hard can that be? You know, and it turned out to be a process that we could support, and we were really, really desiring to do that because there are a lot of, there's a lot of what I call kind of revolving door where jobs that agencies fill a lot of times, the only pool that really applies for those jobs may be current contractors. And there's also a very narrow scope of people who largely are in the D.C. metro area or are current federal employees that really understand USA Jobs at all.
Right.
So this opens up the opportunity for people to find out about jobs in a way that where they're already plugged into that network.
You know, I mean, in terms of social networking, we got the Facebook, we got the LinkedIn. Also, I've seen some, you know, federal recruiters and some federal agencies even post jobs on Twitter that swing back.
Right,
Is there any integration that will come along with that as well?
That's next.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
so we're talking about a full kind of social media. Like you could be on your Twitter account and you could see an agency post out a job real quick. You could be on your Facebook and you could see. And if you're, I'm assuming if you're following an agency on
right.
their Facebook, then you're going to be one of the first people who sees a job announcement pop up.
Right. And
wow.
that's going to be the I think the real win here is it's massively improved outreach. And it takes advantage of, you know, all of the people that are already wired into those systems.
Now,
and,
go ahead.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish because you're saying it wires these people up. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think that it's such a natural avenue for the government to be in because, you know, the LinkedIn site is a site that many federal employees are also on as well, and many of the folks that are on those sites are senior executives in government.
Yeah.
So these are not just individuals. These are hiring managers that use LinkedIn and maintain a community around themselves associated with LinkedIn. So this gives them a tremendous amount of leverage to get the word out when an opening is available, and also for the more difficult to hire skills that are out there that people have, but we can't match the right talent to the right opportunity as easily as we can with these social networking sites.
Now, you know, with LinkedIn, a lot of people use the LinkedIn kind of mail-in process and everything else, you know, the kind of the LinkedIn mail tools, email tools. Would you recommend, you know, and we only got a couple seconds to kind of cover it, but would you recommend, as well as a person apply for a job when this system comes out, do you recommend that people contact hiring managers directly and maybe send them a resume? Or yes, you know, what's your take on that?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
I think they should. And I think that the manager can also say, there's more to the application process. We'll need you to do a few more things and refer them directly to the vacancy. But I see no reason why you can't have an individual go ahead and directly contact the hiring manager.
So this really opens the whole door about what hiring reform was supposed to be, about, you know, hiring managers being a lot more engaged
exactly.
in the hiring process.
Exactly.
Wow.
And a lot more involved in recruiting.
This is going to be a tremendous change, a paradigm shift, and we're going to have to definitely see. When is this going to launch, Linda?
We're going to launch it next week.
Okay.
So
it
should be up probably next Tuesday to the customer base to allow them to go ahead and start using the features.
Okay, outstanding. We're going to have you back next week, and we're going to be talking about the president's speech. We're going to be talking about a number of different things, the president's speech, doing analysis on that and about any kind of hiring that has come out of his speech. Also talk about kind of USA staffing, talk about the USA job transition, and really just talk about the whole federal hiring process. I mean, a lot of transition going on, a lot of concerns about federal jobs, a lot of concerns about reduction in force. This whole dynamic, we're going to just open it up and see what comes out and see if we can make sense of it next week. So we're going to have you on that for a real good discussion. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Me too. Thanks so much, Derek.
Thank you for listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch. We'll see you the next time.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, Friday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.